Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
As the final season of Game of Thrones begins, how will the hit show's end impact tourism in Northern Ireland, where so many of those iconic scenes are shot? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, India's oldest private carrier, Jet Airways, hopes to secure emergency funds today or face collapse. Its international flights were cancelled last week. It hasn't paid its bills in months, and most of its planes have been seized by creditors. Samir Hashmi is outside Jet headquarters in Mumbai.
Jet Airways took off in 1993. This was immediately after the Indian economy was liberalized in 1991. And at that point of time, people in India traveled only on the public carrier, Air India. The ticket price was quite high, and the service they provided, which was very bureaucratic, slow, and they were not very receptive towards passengers. Then came Jet Airways, good aircraft, good service. And then later, in the mid-2000s, it started flying international and to a lot of routes in Europe and America. This is their 26th year. And ironically, they're facing their biggest crisis in their Silver Jubilee year.
I remember, Samir, when Jet started, you know, all the journalists in the 90s would fly it. They served these fantastic chicken kebabs that you would eat, you know, as you took off. It was such a contrast. But as you say, facing such a crisis now, what are we expecting from this meeting of lenders?
It's a do-or-die day for Jet Airways, because not only does it have a debt of over $1 billion, it hasn't been able to pay aircraft leasing companies. That's why more than 100 aircraft have been grounded. It has to pay its staff, which it hasn't paid for the last 4 months. It has to pay the fuel companies that they haven't paid for months. So that's the kind of liability that Jet has. So whoever comes in at this stage needs to pump in millions of dollars and then just wait for this airline to take off.
I mean, this is all very strange, isn't it? Because isn't aviation in India growing? It's a burgeoning market.
It's the fastest growing aviation market in the world. It will be the third largest aviation market by 2025. But the problem with Jet is that its operational cost is very high, and it could never really compete with the low-cost carriers when it came to bringing down its operational cost. And that's why it's been incurring huge losses.
Samir Hashmi there. Let's do the numbers. Shares of Jet Airways are slightly higher as investors await the outcome of that lenders' meeting. And with elections underway in parts of India, fresh data today might be welcome news for farmers who've been struggling with low food prices. Inflation at the wholesale level ticked higher in March. Meanwhile, global stocks are flat amid continued U.S.-China trade talks and ahead of key bank earnings in the U.S. European negotiators got the political green light in the last few hours to resume trade talks with the US about a transatlantic trade deal. Now, you might remember TTIP, the last such deal, stalled in 2016. Now, US-EU trade in goods and services is worth just over $1 trillion annually. The BBC's Andrew Walker explains what both sides want.
In many respects, this is one of the most open trading relationships on the planet. But there are still barriers in the form of tariffs, taxes that are applied just to traded goods, and in the form of regulatory barriers. And the decision taken by the European Union's member states today is that they want negotiations with the US to remove tariffs on industrial goods and to make it easier for exporters in either side to comply with the regulatory requirements that they will have to meet to sell their goods either in the US or in Europe.
So what are some of the obstacles here?
The negotiating mandate that has just been agreed is just about industrial goods. Agriculture is politically just too difficult, and they do not propose to have negotiations in that. The United States, for its part, has said the talks must cover agriculture. So it's not at all clear that these negotiations are going to go very far, but there certainly is a desire on both sides to make progress in some areas.
Andrew Walker. The first episode of Game of Thrones' final season aired last night. Whether you watched it or not, there's no denying the show's global appeal. Now, many of its scenes were shot in Northern Ireland, and last year it's estimated tourism from the show brought in roughly $80 million. And that's according to John McGrillan, CEO of Tourism Northern Ireland.
There are 28 sites that have been used so far. Some of it has actually been filmed in an old disused quarry. Probably the most popular is a place called the Dark Edges, which was shot as the King's Road, a very rural location with fabulous old beech trees on either side. We have tour buses in their 10s and 20s turning up every day to offload people to get their photographs taken beside these trees. In Belfast alone last year, we've seen a 30% increase in the number of hotel beds.
So as the series draws to a close, what now for tourism? Will it all dry up?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, there's a prequel already planned, and that's going to be shot here in Northern Ireland. The one advantage that the fact that the filming has stopped presents us with is the visitor has been able to go to the locations where the filming has taken place, but the filming is gone and the sets are gone and there's not that there to see. Whereas now there is a real opportunity to get in to visit the sets themselves and see the sets and see the costumes and those props that have been used over the lifetime of the series. They can really engage with that, get a really immersive experience when they come here. In some ways, we see this as an opportunity for numbers to grow. There may be other things which come to replace that. You know, Northern Ireland has now become a real hub for the creative industries, and we've seen very successful TV shows, you know, being produced here. Line of Duty is the most successful TV programme currently on the BBC, shot here in Belfast, and of course Derry Girls, which is being broadcast around the world by Netflix, has seen incredible popularity. So there is real potential for exploiting not just Game of Thrones, but some of the other TV productions that are now being shot here.
That's John McGrillan, boss of Northern Ireland Tourism. And in London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
Oscar Gomez was a Chicano student activist in the 90s, a radio DJ and a rising star.
He was fire. He was charisma incarnate. Everyone had a crush on him.
He was a voice of people who didn't have a voice.
Until his sudden and mysterious death. What happened to Oscar? Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.